first, so he could kind of see what, how it worked a little bit here, so he, he'd be a little bit more comfortable. But Ashlyn's coming. And Ashlyn's my daughter, obviously. And you all know her, and it's cold.
No.
But for a little while, Ashlyn's been dealing with, was dealing with the issues, just wondering about her salvation. We try not to push that. We wanted her to make sure that it was her decision, not ours. And we would come home and talk about it some, and she. But we think Ben and Sandy, the leaders of the youth, as they carried them to the judgment house a few weeks ago, and she said she got saved that night and settled the issue that night. But baptism is always after salvation. And so tonight, Ashlyn, my sister, she's my daughter and my sister in Christ. I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism and raised again to walk with him in the rest of life. Be patient with us. Brother Buck's going to be right back.
How's everybody doing this evening? Good. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and do this baptism of Judy Burgess, and it was very exciting when I talked to Pastor Scott, and he told me that he was going to be baptizing his daughter. That is a very cool moment. I remember several years ago having the opportunity to do that with my daughter, and it's just a great thing to be able to witness that, and we just give the Lord the praise and the glory. When Sister Judy had mentioned that she had not been baptized, well, I asked our board, the next board meeting, if there was a church nearby that had a baptismal. Well, I was thinking that we might could wait till after the first of the year. When I called Brother Scott, he said, we're having one here in 2 weeks. So it worked out really well.
Amen.
Well, Judy, if you'd like to come. Judy, in keeping with the example of Jesus, you presented yourself this day that you might receive the sacrament of baptism. Baptism is not itself the door to salvation, but rather is an outward sign of the new birth which God has wrought in your heart. It proclaims to all the world that you have taken Christ Jesus as the Lord of your life, and that your purpose always is to obey him. In order that we may hear your testimony of what God has done for you, and that we may know that you understand the significance of the step you are taking, we want to ask you these questions. Do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ, the Son, suffered in your place on the cross, that he died but rose again, and that he now sits at the Father's right hand until he returns to judge all people at the last day? And do you believe in the Holy Scriptures as the inspired Word of God,
that by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose between right and wrong, and that those who repent of their sin and believe the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith. And you say, all this I steadfastly believe. Do you intend by this act to testify to all the world that you are a Christian and that you will be a loyal follower of Christ? You say, I do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. Amen. Help you up this way.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love
us every year. And we want to give you an opportunity to where you're at. You don't have to come up here. Certainly we would I want to give you an opportunity to brag on God and to say where you're at, what you're thankful for, just as a way of testimony time. I'm prepared to preach. I'm going to preach. And I want to know if any of you had a word of testimony right where you're at for Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving season. This will be the last time we'll gather as a corporate entity before Thanksgiving. Amen. Are there others?
Scott, we did this today also, this morning, and I got called to preach several years ago, ran for a little while, told my congregation this today, and when I finally accepted the call, I didn't know what that meant. Didn't have any idea. I'm 40-something. Got kids getting ready to go to college. Didn't have a clue. But I knew if I didn't do what the Lord wanted me to do, I just felt like I was going to stop breathing.
Amen. Amen.
Then, you know, got ordained a couple years ago as assistant pastor of the church we went to for 20 years there at Burlington First Wesleyan Church. And Saturday in June, I got a phone call from a Harley Crisco to interview for Kildee Wesleyan Church. I never heard of Kildee Wesleyan Church in my life. And I just want to thank God for the opportunity that I have to pastor this church.
Amen. 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 That's a good word. The fact is, serving anywhere is a privilege. That God would choose to use any of us anywhere is an absolute privilege. because if we got what we deserved, we'd spend eternity in hell. Just saying. Others? Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord. Lord has blessed us this week with a new grandbaby.
Amen.
Both of them being brought healthy into the world. Her, well, this is a great unexpected delivery, but God has blessed her and her healing, and I'm just thankful for that. And to stand here in church and say, I have had five grandchildren that I love, and the children, the four children I have, God has blessed
good. Others? Don't get to the parking lot and say, I wish I'd had done. Now's your time. All done? All right. Going once. Good word. Others? Others? Going once. Twice. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I was going to preach. I had my mind settled. I was going to preach Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first 8 verses of Deuteronomy. I really can't explain to you what happened in my spirit, in my heart on Thursday afternoon, but God began to change that early afternoon. And I began to look at Philippians chapter 1, and God began to, I think, speak to my heart in a fresh way. So I want to share some thoughts with you tonight, a little unusual for a Thanksgiving service, on precious memories. We're thankful as you reflect back over all these years that got what God has done, certainly. The Apostle Paul would write to the church at Philippi. Let's stand those we reverence the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, and errant word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for your word. Help us now, Lord, to rightly divide that word of truth. Your word is truth. God, I pray now, Lord, you'd help us. And when the invitation's given, it won't be an afterthought, but it'll be a time where people do business with you. And God, you do business with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter to the church at Philippi, we know that the Apostle Paul is in prison. This is one of his prison epistles. But while they're in prison, no doubt he thinks often of his friends at Philippi. You can just think about the events that were recorded in Acts chapter 16 about the issues of Philippi. Maybe there, as he writes this letter, he thought of Lydia and her household who trusted Jesus as their Savior there at Philippi. The poor slave girl that had been demon-possessed, you know, and you just maybe think about her, the Philippian jailer that had got saved, him and his family. He thought of each of those dear Christians at Philippi and the work that God had done there. What a marvelous work God had done there. He thought of their friendship and their companionship through the years and how God had been good to them. But now it's been 10 years since he's seen those folks. And in his dark and damp and dreary prison cell, precious memories begin to flood his soul. Robert Louis Stevenson said this, "Like a bird singing in the rain, let grateful memories survive in time of sorrow." It's in the stillness of this midnight sorrow that Paul found comfort and joy in these precious memories about the church at Philippi, these sacred things that flooded his soul. One writer called the church at Philippi Paul's sweetheart church. Those believers were special to his heart, and those opening verses, we see how special they were to him in this church, to the church at Philippi. Now, we've seen lots of good things over this last year, and there's lots of precious memories, and some of those things are things that we just want to keep in our minds forever. We look back with fondness, and we can be thankful for those things. Here in the text, so Paul gives us a customary greeting, if you will, to the saints, and he reflects on them as we consider the text. We see the feelings Paul had for them and the great lessons to learn about building and developing proper relationships that will leave precious memories. Now, Thanksgiving is our backdrop for our service tonight, so I want you to keep that in mind as well as we consider three thoughts in our text. First of all, notice with me, his remembrance of them with great appreciation. His remembrance of them with great appreciation. The Apostle Paul says in verse 3, we're going to pick up there. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Now, I think Paul probably thought of them often as he does in his life as he goes about. And you can just imagine that as he's in this prison cell and he's just a dreary and a damp place and he's discouraged, no doubt. And then Paul begins to think and he begins to flood his mind about some different stuff. And we see that in a couple of ways in our text. First of all, how thoughtful he was of them. The text says, every remembrance. The word remembrance there speaks of recollecting, being mindful, thinking of something or someone. The word every implies he thought of them often, not every day of his life, but he thought of them often. They were ever on his mind and his thoughts. Like a husband and a wife, a parent and a child, a pastor and his people, he thought of these folks continually, and they were good thoughts. I think sometimes the sad truth is that sometimes this time of the year, we don't think enough about those folks who have been good to us. And ladies and gentlemen, if we think over this last year, and even sometimes those of us who do what I do, if we're not careful, we focus on those folks who bring a lot of noise and aggravation to us. But there's been a lot of good folks and lots of good people. And the Apostle Paul had a lot to probably complain about and to sulk and to be ugly about. But Paul says, listen, every time I think of you, I think of good stuff. And my mind goes to a good place. And I think about that with Paul. He says, I thank my God every remembrance of you. We're kind of like the folks who were sitting in church one day when the wife suddenly says, "Oh, honey, I forgot to turn the electric iron off when we left home." He looked at her and smiled, said, "Honey, don't worry about it. It won't burn long. I forgot to turn the faucet off in the bathroom, too." Some folks are put in our lives for special purposes, and some folks have a special place in our hearts and our lives. These people did that with the Apostle Paul as well. They held a special place. This Thanksgiving season, you and I would do well to remember those folks that God's put as a special place in our hearts and our lives, and those people that we care about, and we thank God for them every time we think of them. We smile. They made a difference in our hearts hearts and our lives. I think of folks from my childhood. I think of folks since I've been an adult. And every place I've ever served, I think fondly of some of those folks. Even now, some 17 years later, as your pastor, how God has intervened in those my life and placed people in my life along the way, that those folks have an indelible mark in my life and they forever will be there. Oh, we think about those things. And Paul was thoughtful of them, how thoughtful he was. Can you imagine when Paul thought about different folks there as he wrote to the Bible says, the bishops and the deacons of that area. I think that Philippi was not just a church. I think it was a group of churches there in the city of Philippi. And it was much like Siler City. If you was going to write to the church at Siler City, it would encompass a lot of us. But he wrote to all those pastors there and all those deacons serving there. And I think about that sometimes in the folks can you imagine? He thought about that pastor there, that pastor of that church, and this deacon that served over there. He would just smile and he would say, oh, that's a good man. He's a godly man. He really encouraged me along the way. And he says, I thank God for you, as he wrote that. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, how thoughtful he was of them. And I see secondly, though, how thankful he was for them. The text again says, I thank my God. Each time he talked about them, he thanked God for them. Now, preacher, that's pretty simple. That's what Paul always done. It is not. When he wrote to the church at Galatia, Paul wrote, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He called them foolish. He was upset. He was mad when he wrote to the church at Galatia. He wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, I wish I could write unto you as spiritual, but I can't. You're carnal. I mean, he didn't say this about everybody he wrote to. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, ladies and gentlemen, we looked at it for a year and a half on Sunday nights here. They had more problems than a math book. I'm telling you, when Paul wrote to them, he was thankful for them. Last year in January, I wrote in my newsletter article that I thank God that I've done this for all these years. As I started my 17th year, I'm completing my 17th year now. And the fact is that providence is powerful. And I thank God for you every year we do this, that God allowed me to come here to serve you as your pastor all these years. We never dreamed we'd be here this long. Some of you are thinking the same thing. Dwayne, you can quit praying that way now. You too, Justin. Oh, and Paul wrote to him, though it must have broke his heart and brought a great deal of sadness at the same thing. It's knowing he didn't get to see him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a good thing when we think of those folks. Must have brought a great deal of joy to him in the midst of sadness. Sometimes it's a sad thing, it's a disappointing thing to me when I run into folks and you've invested your life in as a pastor. And for whatever reason, they turned their back on the Lord. I talked to someone the other day, and they didn't go to church here, and they said, well, I'm okay with the Lord, but it's just church I don't like. I didn't call her out on it because I didn't want to argue that afternoon. It was one of those days I just didn't have it in me, which is pretty rare. But folks, you can't be right with the Lord and not right with His church. You can't do it. You can't divorce yourself from the bride of Christ. When Paul thought of these folks, it was positive stuff. It was good stuff. And Robert Louis Stevenson wrote, the man who has forgotten to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. And I think he's right. So lots of times we don't give thanks for people who have made a difference in our lives, but I'm thankful for the many folks that have made a difference in my life, come alongside of me and help me in my walk with the Lord. And I hope I never forget those people that Paul didn't. I remember when I was in Gastonia years ago, the first deacon's meeting I ever went to in my life. I mean, I thought everybody loved Jesus. I did. I've never seen folks act like such. But there was a lady and man by the name of Betty and Blair Wilson there. Blair's in heaven now. But every Sunday, I ate lunch at their house. Every Sunday. Every year, we get Christmas cards from Betty. We exchange cards. We exchange texts. She's getting a little older now. We keep saying we're going to go see her. We've got to do that, but just because she was so precious to us. And I remember one morning my cell phone rang several years ago, and I told Elizabeth, I walked back in our room, I said, Blair's dead. And she said, when are you going? And it wasn't a question whether I was going, it was when I was going, because he was so good to me. I went back into the funeral. It's the only time I've ever been back there. I thank God for those folks. They encouraged me to keep going on and continue serving on whenever it was difficult. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for you. I thank God for my parents who kept us in church. So I was talking about my mama recently. Yesterday, mama, I told somebody, they said, well, how did you come to know the Lord? And I told them, and I said, it's kind of funny. My mama come in from church, from work one Monday, and she said, we're singing tonight at the church, at a church, another church in the county. I said, well, I went yesterday. Y'all go and have a good time. True story. And she said, I wasn't really asking. I said, get dressed to go to church. And we went to that church that night. I said, well, I'm not going to like it. And I sit in the back of the church that night, and I didn't like it to start with. But I tell you, that night, God done a work in my heart and my life, and I got saved that night, and God changed my life. Thank God for that. We ought to thank God for those folks, not just this time of the year, but all year long. Thank God for those folks. We were talking the other night in the finance committee, and we were just kind of laughing at over the years of the times I've thrown Bubba under the bus, and it's been a lot. As we start reflecting like that, Bubba, it's been a lot. But you know, really and truly, you thank God for folks like that, godly men who have come alongside you and serve along in that capacity as deacon all these years that I've been here. I do. I thank God for them every time I have remembrance of them, and I don't have bad memories. I was telling the pastor before church, I said, I hear horror stories by other places, but I don't deal with that stuff, and I really appreciate that. His remembrance of them with great appreciation. But let me give you a second thought, though. His request for them with great admiration. Look here in verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. Now, Paul didn't just have them in his mind, he had them in his prayers too. And whenever he thought of them, he not only lifted his heart in praise, but he also lifted his heart in prayer. Paul prayed for this church. He prayed for them often. Notice with me four thoughts about that. He prayed purposefully for them. Paul prayed for the needs he knew they had in their lives. I think one of the great failures in our day is in the area of prayer. Someone has said this: the popularity of a church is measured by its Sunday morning attendance. The popularity of the preacher is measured by its Sunday evening attendance. The popularity of the Lord is measured by the prayer meeting attendance. Ladies and gentlemen, we break those names up here on Wednesday nights and we ask folks to pray for them. It's important for those folks to know that we're praying purposely for them. Warren Wiersbe said it this way: talking to God about his people is certainly as important as talking to his people about God. I read about a little child that was traveling to Scotland, from Scotland to London and back and forth for a series of operations they were having, and it was a long distance and her family couldn't travel. She had to leave them behind constantly. It was really an interesting thought. So when she got there, a nurse really kind of took her under her wing and began to explain to her what was going to happen. And she said, well, this is going to happen with the anesthesiologist, and this is going to happen with the surgeon. This is what the nurse is going to do, and this and that and the other. She explained all that stuff. She said, do you have any questions? And the little girl said, sure I do. Who's going to be here to pray for me? Ladies and gentlemen, thank God we can pray for folks. And we're praying people. Let me give you a second thought, though. He prayed particularly for them. Notice in the text, he says, for you all. Did you see that? Right there in verse 4. He prayed for them by name. Sometimes I think one of the greatest lessons we can learn about prayer is not only praying specifically for something, but praying particularly for someone. Calling them by name to the Lord, and that's what we want to do. And let me give you a third thought, though. He prayed purposely for them, particularly for them. He prayed perpetually for them, always, in every prayer of mine. Every time Paul prayed, those folks came to his mind. He prayed for them. I find myself praying for folks all the time. If you do this very long, God gives you a heart for the people whom you serve. And I can't explain it to you. And I don't think that folks, unless you've ever served in this capacity, you could understand this. But God gives you a heart for the people that God's called you to serve. And it gives you that heart and you pray for them. And you give your life to this. And if it becomes just a paycheck to you, then you wouldn't do half the stuff that you do. I never want it to be that way. But I find myself always praying for someone riding in the road. Lord, I want you to just work in such and such's life. I know they're going through this. I know this is happening. I know this. I know that. And you find yourself praying for them. Let me give you a fourth thought, though. He prayed pleasantly for them. He prayed for them, the Bible says, with joy. Aren't you thankful? He thought of them in the work. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from this day until now. It was with joy that he praised. He thought about the work God was doing there. He says, being confident in this very thing that he has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He was pleasantly prayed for them. He was excited about what God was doing in their lives continually. Listen, he was confident. Listen, I know what's going to happen. That things aren't, you're not going to just start well, you're going to finish well. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm confident that we're doing well. Let me give you a third thought. His remembrance of them with great appreciation, his request for them with great admiration, his relationships with them was with great affection. Verse 7, he picks up, just as is it right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Paul had a great affection for these people. He had them in his mind, he had them in his prayers, he had them in his heart. He was personally close to them. And we see that because of two things in our text. First of all, the deep love Paul had for them. And he begins to pick up in verse 8, and he says, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul had a deep and an abiding love for those people. The word affection that the New King James is the same word that the King James Version uses as bowels. Literally means inward parts. It was used to refer to as a seat of emotions. We would say it this way in our vernacular today, in our English. We would say something like this, I love you with all my heart. Jesus said, by this, people will know you're my disciples. What? If you have love one for another. John wrote that we would love one another is a great evidence of our conversion. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul had a deep love for them. And they knew that. This Thanksgiving season, I hope that you have no questions that your pastor loves you. We have very few questions that most of you love us. There are a few we wonder about at times. All too often, though, love is compared to other words. It's nothing more than words, though. I read about a fellow who called his girlfriend and says, darling, I love you. I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the deepest stream for you. I'd fight a jungle of lions for you. And if it doesn't rain, I'll be able to see you tonight. That was Justin's love letter years ago to Jamie. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought to show deep love and affection. I tell folks this often. What Jerry said is true. You ought to travel sometime and hear some of the stories we hear from other places. Every place is not like this place. I've said for years there's a spirit here that's better caught than taught. We go to the convention sometimes and we'll hear people talking about their churches and the meetings they go to and some deacons' meetings and that kind of thing. We don't have no meetings like that. We don't always agree about everything. We don't dot every I always the same way. We don't cross every T, but we don't ever leave there disagreeable and ugly and a fight. We have a sweet spirit here amongst the people. And you don't get that everywhere. And if you don't believe so, you ought to visit around just a little bit. we sometimes when we're on vacation, we get to be tourists, man. We sit in the back, wear flip-flops and khaki pants. It's odd for me to look like that, I'm telling you, but we do. And we'll go, we'll sit in the back, and we'll just listen. And sometimes you can just ice skate into place, man. I remember one time I preached at a place, and an old boy stood up on Friday night and said, oh, the Spirit of God's been here all week. I thought, where's he at? I'll go sit with him. I mean, it was bad. Me and my daddy went one time to Georgia. He rode with me to Georgia. And he got to making fun of that lady singing behind me. And he got me tickled. And I put my hands in my face. It was so bad to act like I was praying. True story. True story. And I could hear my mama saying, son, if you got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And about that time, God spoke to my heart and said, don't lie. I was in a real quandary, man. I didn't know what to do. Man, it was just bad. The spirit of the church went that way. And everybody didn't love everybody. And there was folks who just had a real sour spirit, just was hateful. But the Apostle Paul had a deep love for them. They obviously loved him, and he loved them. As God is my witness, he says, I greatly long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, he loved them. Jesus died for them. And I'm telling you, Paul loved those folks. The deep love Paul had for them, I see exactly the divine love Paul had for them. When Paul describes his love for them, he says it was in the affection of Jesus Christ. He had experienced divine love for God, and that's what enabled him to love them. Ladies and gentlemen, this Thanksgiving season, I tell you, the reason we love the things of God is because he first loved us. I told you just a minute ago, I didn't want to go to church from the night I got saved, but my mama made me go. This is free, it's not even in the notes, but let me just give you this to you. I don't get why parents let their kids decide whether they go to church or not. We make them brush their teeth, we make them go to school, we make them do homework, we make them do all kinds of other things they don't want to do. At our house, we were made to do chores, we had to mow grass, we had to clean up. I mean, we had to do all that kind of stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, we also had to go to church. We went one of two ways, with the whipping or without it. Either way, it didn't make them any difference. Had to go. Don't understand why you let them decide that. Preacher, that has to be their decision for salvation. Agreed. But it also has to be exposed to the gospel for them to get it. But folks, I'm telling you, after you've experienced that love, then God gives you a love for the divine things of God. You'll love the church. You can't separate the two. He had experienced divine love from God. He had experienced it on the road to Damascus. Because listen to me, this morning we talked about when you fall. Paul had blown it more than one time. He was heading to Damascus to persecute the church. He wasn't going there to pass out Sunday school literature. He was going there to hurt the church. But ladies and gentlemen, instead of God giving him what he deserved, God gave him what he did not deserve, which was grace and mercy. And after that experience with the love of God, Paul began to love what he used to hate. You can't this Thanksgiving season not love the things that Jesus loves. If you love him, you'll love what he loves. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this Thanksgiving season when we were unlovable, God has chosen in his grace and mercy to love us. God's revealed himself to us, and that we love each other with an affection of Jesus Christ. He chose to love us even when we were unlovable. Paul had precious memories of these saints. He had them in his prayers. He had them in his heart. He had them in his mind. This Thanksgiving season, on Thursday when you gather around the table, you ought to thank God for all he's done for you. You ought to thank God for what a place we have here that we can come to and worship and be a part of something that's bigger than us, and we get to be a part of something greater than we are, and we get to love the same things that he loves because he first loved us. He says, I thank God every remembrance of you. He had a great love for those people because they loved him and he loved them. Tonight, maybe, just maybe, you've come and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm certain the buildings are heated. And maybe you don't know the Lord. I'm going to invite you to come. Everyone our Lord ever called, He called publicly. That's what we're going to do tonight, is ask you to come publicly. Maybe tonight you're not walking with the Lord and you need to come back. You see, the God is the God of second chances and the fresh start, and He wants you to come back. Why don't you come? Why don't you respond to Him, a Savior that deeply loves you? Maybe you need to make this church your church home. You respond however the Lord would have you respond. I'll be here at the front to receive you. You come. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, to the best of my ability, tonight I've preached what You laid on my heart. Many can do it more eloquently than I can, and many can do it better than I can, but Lord, at the same time, we're trying to do what You want us to do. Father, I pray now that You would be pleased with what we say, You'd be pleased with what we do, and God, that heaven would look down and be pleased here. We commit this time to You. We honor You. We bless You. We thank You for blessing us. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." The words will be on the screen. You come. Things. I need to give Ashlyn Fall. Where did she go? There she is. She's in the back with her baptism certificate. And the next time we do this, we told Brother Buck we'd get them baptism certificates too. Seriously, we'll do it for them. We'll be happy to partner with that. We can afford to do that for them. And so we pray for Ashlyn. We obviously, me and Elizabeth love her. We're very proud of her. And we are excited about the days that are ahead. Amen. Amen. She didn't really want to talk for some reason. I'm not sure why. She wants to talk whatever. And we are excited about the days that are ahead. Amen? Amen. She didn't really want to talk for some reason. I'm not sure why. She wants to talk other times when I don't want her to talk. But Sam and Heath need some help with some strong backs and some weak minds. There are several of y'all that fit that bill. And to move the Christmas decorations down immediately following the service. Ethan, you would be a good candidate for that. Anyway, if y'all could help them real quick, five or six of you, that would be good, if you could help them. Let's see. No service Wednesday night. Don't forget about that. Don't forget the rest of the month, as we come to church, bring canned goods, put them behind your car. If it's the morning service at night, go ahead and bring those in with you if you want to, so